Today on Good Friday, what a good day to be in church. What a great day this is as we gather as a church right across the world to celebrate all things Jesus. And to use the words of Renee, who did such an outstanding job around communion, just to let it hit you in the face. Turn to your neighbor and say, let it hit you. Let it hit you today. I pray it does. I pray it hits you front and center. Right in the face today, the whole message of Jesus and all things Jesus. Ian McCormack, can I speak to that for a few moments? We've got Ian McCormack, as the girls said on Church News with their amazing mustaches, promoting the men's event on the Saturday, the breakfast, and then on the Sunday. Ian's from New Zealand. Don't hold that against him. Ian is from New Zealand and is an amazing, amazing preacher and minister of the gospel. And he runs a church in London and then ministers out of New Zealand, has been ministering around the world for years and years. I've heard of Ian for a long, long time. I've never actually met him. I've never had the opportunity to have him in our church, but that's coming very, very quickly. Ian's story, just briefly, was that he died and came back to life again. He was stung by 5 or 6 Irukandji jellyfish, and you only need to get stung by one to take you out. He got stung by 5 or 6 of them and had that life-changing experience, which really released an amazing anointing on him for what he's doing in ministry. He's a real Holy Spirit man, and I'm just looking forward so much to having him in our house. For all the guys, bring your mates along to the what are we doing with Ian? Daryl, we're doing a breakfast here at church on the Saturday. Make sure you lock in for that. Bring your mates. It'll be an amazing morning. And then, of course, church on the Sunday morning will also be absolutely outstanding. Well, today, straight after church, it's an hour service today, which will be a miracle. How many of you know that will be a miracle? It'll be a miracle, but wherever we are at 10 a.m., I need to stop. So if I stop all of a sudden, I'm stopping for a very good reason, because we're hosting about 150 people that are lost and lonely from our community are coming in here. Give a round of applause. They're coming in here for lunch at 12 o'clock. So we're going to take all the chairs out. We're going to set up tables like a restaurant. We've got people cooking food. We'll have food in here for them. We're going to serve them roast lamb, chicken, I don't know what else, vegetables, dessert. It's going to be amazing. We just wanted to love on, and we wanted to hug people in our community as a church that are lost and lonely, and many of them are homeless, and they kind of get forgotten over weekends like this. And we wanted them to know that you noticed, that you loved, and that you're valued, and what Jesus did, he did for you. That's what we want them to know. And so today we're going to absolutely spoil them, is what we're going to do. So we've got to get our skates on this morning and do what we're going to do really, really quickly. Is that okay? That means you've got to behave yourself. You can't go interrupting me like you normally do and shouting out how amazing the preaching is and encouraging me too much. Just hold back today. Hold back today so that we can get through this. We've been on a theme for this month in terms of a build-up towards Easter called Good News, because we are absolutely convinced that everything that Jesus did for us, is doing for us, and has planned for us is good news. Anyone else believe that in the house? Come on, come on. We do. We believe that. We believe it's good news. It's good news what Jesus has done for us. And so we started by looking at the fact that we have been redeemed, which is means that God paid the price and brought us back. He brought us back. He paid that price to bring us back to him. So we looked at that week one. Week two, we looked at the fact that we're now righteous, which is kind of hard to believe if you're human. Because being human and understanding that you're righteous is one of those things, as Renee said, that you really have to get slapped in the face about to understand. Let it slap you that I'm righteous. I'm righteous today. That's what God has called you, and that's what God has made you to be. It's not about your feelings. It's about your state of being. Today we're going to talk about being reconciled is what we're going to be talking about today. The fact that God has reconciled us to himself. This is good news in a bad news world. Good news in a bad news world. Have you noticed how crazy the world is? You know, the world's always been crazy. It was crazy in Jesus' day. It was crazy when he was born. It was crazy when he died. It'll be crazy when he comes back again. That's why God came, because the world is crazy and it's full of bad news. And so the good news of what Jesus is and what Jesus has done for every one of us, it comes into that space of bad news and it permeates it. It invades it like light coming into darkness. So I want to take just a few moments today and I want to read from the Bible, according to Mark's gospel, the account of Jesus on the cross, just to lay the platform for what we're doing this morning. It's Mark 15, verses 16 onwards, says this: the soldiers took Jesus into their headquarters and they called out the entire battalion. They dressed him in purple robe and they made a crown of long, sharp thorns and they put it on his head. And then they saluted, yelling, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they beat him on the head with a stick, they spit on him, and they dropped to their knees in mock worship. And when they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the purple robe and they put his own clothes on him again, and then they led him away to be crucified. They brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means Skull Hill. And they offered him wine drugged with myrrh, but he refused it. And then they nailed him to the cross and they gambled for his clothes, throwing dice to decide who would get them. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when the crucifixion took place. A signboard was fastened to the cross above Jesus' head, announcing the charge against him. It read, "The King of the Jews." Two criminals were crucified with him, their crosses on either side of him. And the people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Look at you now," they yelled at him. "You can destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, can you? Well then, save yourself and come down from that cross." The leading priests and teachers of religious law, they mocked Jesus. "He saved others," they scoffed, "but he can't even save himself. Let this Messiah, let this King of Israel come down from the cross so we can see and believe him." Even two criminals who were being crucified with Jesus ridiculed him. At noon, darkness fell across the whole earth until 3 o'clock. And then at that time, Jesus called out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of the bystanders misunderstood. They thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran with a sponge filled with sour wine, holding it to him on a stick so he could drink. "Leave him alone. Let's see whether Elijah will come down and take him down." And then Jesus uttered another loud cry and he breathed his last, and the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the Roman officer who stood facing him saw how he had died, he proclaimed, "Truly this was the Son of God." I love the declaration that Mark finishes with here around this around this Easter moment of the crucifixion of Jesus, where his conclusion was when he saw how he died, he said, "Truly he was the Son of God." You see, this Roman soldier had seen many died. He'd seen many crucified. Jesus wasn't the first one to be nailed to a cross and nailed to a tree. But Jesus, when he died on a cross and died on a tree, was different to anyone else that had ever died on a cross or died on a tree. And the Roman centurion stood there and said, "Surely this was the Son of God." You know, the cross of Jesus is a good news story that is invading bad space, bad news space. The scene of the cross is so gruesome, it's so unimaginable, and it is that way because what was actually happening behind the scenes was, in the middle of all the gruesomeness, God was doing something absolutely awesome. God was doing something awesome that would have consequences for every one of us. The final sacrifice for sin was being paid. No longer did they have to come and sacrifice bulls and goats in their blood. There was one sacrifice now that was going to be it. One sacrifice that was going to be made forever. One sacrifice that would never, ever need to be repeated ever, ever, ever again. One sacrifice that would lift guilt and shame and accusation off human beings. One sacrifice that would ultimately set us free. It was the greatest display of love and the greatest display of hatred at the same time. The greatest display of love in that the Father sent His Son and the Son laid down His life. The greatest display of hatred in that men crucified another human being. Lightness and darkness colliding. Two kingdoms colliding. Heaven's light invading earth's darkness. Ultimately, God reconciling man to Himself. You know what the cross reminds me of? It reminds me that I'm redeemed. It reminds me that I'm righteous. It reminds me that I'm reconciled. And it reminds me that I'm restored. That's why the cross of Jesus is good news for every one of us. That God has reconciled us to Himself. Aren't you so glad today that you're reconciled? Aren't you so glad today that God has made things right? This is what Paul says. Paul says in 1 Timothy 2, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved," everyone to be saved, "and to understand the truth. For there is only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, and that is this man, Christ Jesus." Church, do you know that reconciled with God is our position? That's what God has made you. He has reconciled you. He has made you and I right, and reconciled is how God wants us to live with Him and how God wants us to live with each other. And you can't live reconciled with people unless you understand what reconciliation looks like and feels like with God. That we get the God picture of what reconciliation really is. And that's what I want to talk to us about today. Romans 5 says this, "Therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us." Paul says to Titus, he says, "He declared us not guilty because of His great kindness." Can you just say those words over your own heart, head, mind, spirit today, internally? Not guilty, not guilty. He made us not guilty. In other words, God has made us right with Him, and we have peace with God, and we can have peace with each other. And that's why Paul says, so now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in making us the friends of God. Do you realize today that you have been made a friend of God? The Bible says, once we were not friends, once we were enemies of God, but now we have been made friends with God because of reconciliation, which means this. It means to bring together what was at odds, to restore harmony, to change thoroughly, to heal what is broken, to make friends, restore balance, to reconcile accounts, balance the books, make sense of two different views, to build bridges, close gaps, and to remove barriers. That's what it means to be reconciled. When I used to work in the bank many years ago, my first job was I was a bank Johnny. So I worked in the bank, and I was the reconciler. That was my job. I was the reconciler. It was the day before computers. Anyone remember that day? It was the day before computers did all the work for you. You actually had to use your head and a calculator. And I used to physically write up the bank ledgers in a big, thick, leather-bound ledger book about that thick, and it was about this big. And I was the general ledger clerk. And so it was my job to balance all the accounts and all the books of the bank physically, writing it out and working it out and balancing it. And I had a gift. had a gift. And my gift was, I was the reconciler. I was the one in the branch that would always help the ledger girls work it out when it went wrong. When it went wrong. And I just had the ability to look at figures and go, that's not right and this is the problem. And they called me the reconciler. Do you know that Jesus is really the ultimate reconciler? That he has reconciled us to the Father and to each other. So I want to give some brief thoughts today about how to live a reconciled life. How to live a reconciled life. My first thought of this is this about reconciliation. If you're going to live a reconciled life, reconciliation does not posture its position. It doesn't posture its position. If you're in odds with somebody or something, you can't afford to be posturing your position, strutting and parading your position. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus, the Bible tells us, did not strut his position. It says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us as sinners. He was righteous, but he came and died for us. Now, most people, Paul says, would be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. So Christ, who was righteous, came and died for us who were totally undeserving. He humbled himself. He didn't hold his position. He laid down his position. He laid down himself and he laid down his life so that reconciliation could take place. Do you know, if we're going to have reconciliation with other people, then there's some lessons we need to learn from Jesus. And Paul shares them in Philippians 2, where he says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. If we're going to live at peace with other people and reconcile relationships as God has reconciled us, then we cannot afford to posture our position. Even if you feel right and even if you feel righteous, we need to learn to humble ourselves. So here's some thoughts. Build bridges rather than walls. Build bridges rather than walls. This is the message of Easter. The cross is a bridge. It's not a fence. It's not a wall. It doesn't keep us out. It welcomes us in. It provides a pathway where God moved to us and he became one of us. Jesus took on flesh and he gave up everything for us. So build bridges to the lost. That's what we're doing today when we have lunch for the people that are going to come today. We're building bridges to the lost and the lonely, the hurting, the disenfranchised. You know, there is something really sad and ugly when the church builds walls rather than bridges. When we put up fences around what we do and who we are rather than building bridges. Bridges are so welcoming because they provide access for people to enter. That's what Jesus provided for us, access to enter closer to the heart of the Father. Reconciliation demands movement towards people. Can I encourage us to be a church that moves towards people? That moves towards people because we've been reconciled. That's what reconciliation does. It breathes life. It breathes life. As Jesus was breathing his last, he was preparing to actually breathe life. What an oxymoron of thought that is. What a dichotomy of thought that he was breathing his last and that was about to be him breathing his best for us, for every one of us. You see, when Jesus reconciled us on the cross, he gave us life. That's what reconciliation does. It gives life to other people. It gives life to things that are dying. It gives life to dead things. It makes things new again. Paul spoke about it. He said this in Corinthians. He says, what this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. They're not the same anymore. Your old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all this newness of life is from God, who has brought us back to himself through what Christ has done. Reconciliation with God brings new life to you And I, reconciliation with each other brings life to relationships that are dying or that are dead. Reconciliation, the good news about it is that it breathes life. Reconciliation also results in connection. Connection. People feeling connected, and people feeling connected to God and connected to each other, to belonging. And it results in momentum. It results in a sense of going ahead. Paul says all this newness of life, all this newness of life that we have is from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did. How does newness of life happen? It happens as we connect with God through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary. Reconciliation happens when we get close to God and we feel him close to us. And when we feel God close to us, he changes our heart towards people, because we get God's heart on the matter. And you know, God's heart is always people. The only thing God's concerned about is people. The only thing God is focused on is people. God's not really concerned about projects. God's not really concerned about things that we do like that. God is concerned about people. What will the project do for the people? And so the Good Feed project that we're doing today, it's a project, but it's a project that's all about people. That's what makes it good. It's a good news project. You see, the closer you get to God, the closer you get to people. I love this about being spiritual, because I grew up thinking that people that were spiritual, they just seemed so weird to me. They seemed so removed from people. They seemed like people that just wanted to go up and stay on a mountain and wear a white sheet and just do strange things in the forest and you know, go and just pray for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And when I see Jesus in the New Testament, I see him among the people. I see him on the mountain feeding the people. Even when he tried to run away from the people to have some rest, the people followed him, because that's what people do when they know you love people. Yeah. People will always turn up. There'll always be a line. By the time we finish this service, there'll probably be people standing outside waiting to come in. Why? Because they're coming for good news. They're coming for a good feed. And Jesus was full of good news and full of a good feed with people. You know, connection with God brings real momentum. Real momentum. When you are unreconciled, you have no momentum. You're going nowhere. There's no vision. There's no blessing. There's no favor. Life is full of burden, and life is far from being blessed when you're unreconciled. And so the message of the cross is you're being made right. You've been reconciled with God. He has balanced the books for you between you and him, and he wants us to balance the books with each other. You know, when we're reconciled, we're alive and moving. Are you alive today? Are you moving today? When you're reconciled, you're alive, you're moving, you're growing, you're expanding, you're stretching, you're changing, you're closer to God, you're closer to his purpose, you're fruitful, you're flourishing, and you have momentum, because the Bible says this. It says, in him we live and move and we exist. In him we have our being. This God who died for us did it so that we might have life. And what an ugly and shameful thing it is to live your life without any life. Because you have been reconciled with God. And so in terms of our past, this is why a lot of people don't have life, even though they believe in God, is to understand that reconciliation totally disempowers the past. It sets you free. It totally disempowers the past. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, for God was in Christ while he was on the cross, reconciling the world to himself, making things right, no longer counting people's sins against them. Isn't that good news? How many people are glad about that? This is a wonderful message that God has given us to tell others, that God is not looking at our sins. God's not looking at what we were. God is looking at what we could be. God's looking at the future. God's looking at the purpose. God's looking at the plan. God's not a trespass counter. Can I ask everyone in the room not to be a trespass counter? Not to be a trespass, but humans are good at this. Counting the trespasses of others. Put away the pencil, put away the pad, put them down and open up your arms and hug your world. Because that's what Jesus did when he died on Calvary. And his posture was this. You know when someone stands in front of you and does this? It means bring it in. Come on. Can I have the team come to stage? Bring it in. That's what Jesus did on the cross. Bring it in. We're going to do this for the people of our community in a few moments. Bring it in. Come on in. Sit at the table. You belong. God's not counting your sins against you any longer. He's nailed them to the cross of Calvary. He totally disempowers the past, is what the Bible tells us. God has done everything that he needs to do to make you right. You couldn't be any more right if you tried to be. You couldn't be any more right. You're more right than you are wrong. Would you stand to your feet with me, please? You passed the test. You passed the examination. How many people love tests? Love examinations. We always get nervous about that. There's no need to be nervous about your examination with God. Do you know the Bible says you've been made perfect? Turn to your neighbor and just wink. You know it. You know it. Some of you thought right then, you thought, that's good preaching. You've been made perfect today. You've been made perfect. You've been made blameless. Oh, such good news. Blameless. How many people could be set free from the torment of their hearts and minds if they just understood that when God makes you right, that what Jesus did on that cross all those years ago was to make you blameless and was to make you perfect and was to redeem you, was to make you righteous and was to reconcile and balance the books. Jesus is the reconciler. When he walks through heaven's streets, he has a shirt with a big R on it. And everyone goes, there's the reconciler. Would you close your eyes? Reconciled is what you are. I need to reconcile this service right now. It's 10:01. Father, we're so grateful that you've reconciled us and you've made peace with us, for us. And you'd want to do it through us now. I pray, help us to be a church that opens our arms and says to our world, bring it in. That they would see reconciliation take place. They'd feel it and they'd know it. For every person in the room today to know and feel the reconciliation and the love and the acceptance and the value of Jesus for you today. If you're not right with God today, today's the day to get your heart right with God. Today's the day to say, Jesus, come into my heart and come into my life and make me right. We're going to close right now. We're going to sing this beautiful anthem, You're Worthy of It All. As we sing that today, why don't you take a moment to make your heart right with God today, if that's you. If you're online, why don't you open up your heart and just come into the holy hug of heaven and let God make you right right now. You're worthy of it all.
The
took a moment right then during that song to say, God, make me right. I'm going to pray for you right now. I'm going to pray, God, and seal that decision, that commitment that you made right now. At the conclusion of the service, I'd like you to come and just say hello down the front to me here for making that decision. Father, in Jesus' name, today I pray for people that just silently prayed a prayer. Father, make me right. Father, forgive me. Father, hold me. Let heaven's hold take a hold of my heart. I pray for people that prayed that today. I pray that right now you'd seal that with a precious Holy Spirit. Make people right, forgive them of their sins, release them from their past, disempower the past, and make them a brand new creation is what I pray today, because you, Father, through your Son Jesus, have reconciled us, made us right, and you're not counting our sins against us. Thank you for that good news today. On this Good Friday, we celebrate that in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you, church. Have an amazing day. Enjoy your Easter weekend. We're here for resurrection service on Sunday, 9 a.m. Thank you to our online community. God bless you. Have an amazing, amazing week. If you made that decision, would you come forward and say a quick hello before you go home today? Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you.